the plan for the next few days, and you'll tell me if you aren't into this plan and you wanna do something else. But I thought, like, maybe we'll spend a day on Zugos. That will be today. That's Daf Kuf Yud. Kuf Yud Aleph is essentially Shadim. Maybe we'll spend some time, if I could think of anything to say about Shadim, maybe we'll spend some time one day on Shadim. And Kuf Yud Beis has a bunch of very nice bits of advice that Chachamim gave to their Talmidim before they died. So maybe we'll talk about some of the lessons that we get from there. And just like one day on each, on the various... and then Kuf Yud Gimel is also Ma'amari Agada, but Kuf Yud Gimel gets into finally one of the in the context of one of the Ma'amarim of Agadata, it gets into Lashon Hara and Lo Sisna Sechicha B'Vavecha. You sort of hate somebody, so maybe we'll spend a day or two on that. That would be nice. And then Kuf Yud Aleph is back to Pesachim. So maybe over the next week or so, we'll go through some of the non-Pesachim related stuff. And again, if anyone has objections to that, strong or not so strong objections, let me know. And you know, We're flexible here. So okay. Zugos. What's the story with Zugos of you? So the Gemara tells us that there are certain things that you should not do in pairs. How does it come up? Why are we talking about pairs? Because the Mishnah said leave chasula me'arba kosos. You have to have four cups of wine. Gemara says, four cups of wine? Ayvei, that's pairs. That's an even number. You're not allowed to do even numbers. So Gemara says three answers. Either lel shimurim, lel amashum rabam min amazikin. Either you're allowed to do an even number on the night of the Seder, because the night of the Seder is a lel shimurim. We're considered to be extra protected on the night of the Seder. Did you know, the Rama writes in Shulchan Aruch, that the reason we open the door on the night of the Seder, you know, at the end of the Seder we open the door? The Rama writes, it's not because Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come and pretend to take a sip out of the wine to fool the kids or whatever. That's not what's happening. We open the door because we want to show, look, we're protected, we have bitachon. We don't need any of the normal protections because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is protecting us. It's based on the status of Lel Shimurim that we actually do that. So that's answer number one the Gemara has. And it's based on Lel Shimurim. Why is it taka that we have a kol shel Eliyahu then, if Eliyahu HaNavi is not really coming in and drinking from the wine? So there's a lot of scholarship in it. It's a very interesting discussion. I always thought my favorite pshat was always that the kol shel Eliyahu is a fifth kos, and we don't drink from it. We just leave it there on the table. How many lashonos of gula are there? Four lashonos of gula. But they're really five. Roshbam writes in Sadi Tesan Beis, we have four kosos, can I get Dalal Lashonos Agula? So, what about Vehivesi? What about the fifth Lashon Agula that Rosh Baruch is going to bring us into Eretz Yisrael? So, we only drink four kosos because we can't celebrate Vehivesi when we're still in Galus. We can celebrate the fact that we got out of Mitzrayim and that we got the Torah and we're the Am Hashem and all the four things, but not Vehivesi, we're not there yet. We can't celebrate that. But we recognize that there is that concept of Vehivesi. So what do? We pour a fifth kos and we leave it on the table. We don't drink from it. We leave it on the table to keep our eye on the prize. Because when Klal Yisrael celebrates the Pascha Ula, we're not only celebrating something that happened in the past, we're celebrating with an eye toward the future. That Geula is going to be a model for future Geula. So we have to keep our eye on the prize. We have that fifth kos there. But we dare not drink from it because we haven't experienced it yet. So what do we call that kos? Not because Eliyahu HaNavi is coming to drink from it. We call it kos shel Eliyahu because Eliyahu HaNavi is the one that comes and heralds the coming of Mashiach. He's the one that's going to make that kos relevant again. That's going to allow us to drink that kos. That's what I always thought was the best pshat in what we're doing over there. But the opening of the door, that's Lel Shimurim. So Gemara says one answer is Lel Shimurim. So Zugos generally is a problem. What's the problem with Zugos? The problem is somehow it makes us very susceptible to mazikin, to negative spiritual forces, shadim and the like, all sorts of negative spiritual forces. So you don't have to worry about that if it's a lel shimurim, if it's a night that's protected from these things. Second answer the Gemara has, Rava Amar, kol shel bracha mitzarif for the tov aveinu mitzarif for the ra. The kol shel bracha only counts, I mean the kol shel birchas hamazon only counts for the good, it doesn't count for the bad. So if you drink four kosos, but one of them is kosher, the third one is kosher birchas hamazon, it's like you drank kosos 1, 2, and 4, which is a total of 3, it's not a total of 4 anymore. You actually had 4? Yeah, but the kosher birchas hamazon doesn't count. And number three, Ravina Amar, Arba Kasi Tekin Rabbanan Der Cherus, Kol Chad V'Chad, Mitzvah Ba'apei Nafshehu. These aren't, there's no mitzvah for kosos. There's a mitzvah of a kos for Kiddush, there's a mitzvah of a kos of Sipritzis Mitzrayim, there's a mitzvah of a kos of Birch Samazah, there's a mitzvah of a kos of Halal. But that's not, that doesn't mean there's a mitzvah of four kosos. There's no mitzvah of four kosos. Quite a Kiddush. Especially since the Gemara just got through saying one daf ago, what did the Gemara say? If a person drinks some bebas achas, yidei yayin yatsa, yidei arba kosos lo yatsa. Now we say, no, there's no such din of dalit kosos. It just happens to be four independent things, but that's not four kosos. Those are the three answers the Gemara has. And the Gemara goes on to say that of the things a person is not allowed to do in pairs is lo yasa tzrachav, not allowed to have tashma shamita twice. The Gemara says, yes, you are. It doesn't really mean that. It means that you're not allowed to tashma shamita after eating a pair of something or drinking a pair of something where you're then susceptible to mazikin. So tashma shamita puts a person in a very vulnerable position for mazikin. So you don't have tashma shamita right after eating zugos. Then it tells us a person drinks pears, he's taking his life into his own hands. The Gemara clarifies that's only if you plan on going on the road or going to sleep that it's going to be a problem. The Gemara also tells us that an Adam Chashuv is in more danger than regular people when it comes to Zugos. The Gemara tells us that Abaye, when his mother used to serve him, so after he'd have one cup and he'd say, I'd like some more, please. I'd like doubles. So what would she do? She'd bring him two more cups and hand him both hands at the same time. Why two more? Because he had one, so you got to keep it in the odd number. Which the whole story is a little bit odd. Rashbam points out Abaye didn't have a mother. So how can he tell a story about Abaye's mother? Abaye, when his mother became pregnant, his father died. When his mother gave birth, his mother died. So throughout Shas, when Abaye is the one that says in Maseches Kiddushin that he feels fortunate that he didn't have parents because he never would have been up to the task of doing Kibbut Aveim properly. That's how hard it is to fulfill Kibbut Aveim properly. But the Gemara, the Rashbam says, okay, whenever you have Abaye quoting his mother throughout Shas, it doesn't mean his mother. It means whoever raised him, the woman who raised him. Rabbi Bar Nachmeni was his adoptive father, and either Rabbi Bar Nachmeni's wife, maybe, or maybe he hired someone, but a woman who raised him. He had some sort of person who raised him.
Is there a Gemara in Sefer Brodah Shofar that Mazikin don't harm Tami the Chacham?
That Mazikim don't harm Tamidei Chachamim. Yeah? I don't know.
I'll try and find out.
Okay.
What does it mean to eat?
Two donuts. Gotta have three.
Do you have rice?
Two rice.
Two
kernels.
That's not what that means. It's like, you can't have.
Make sure you count it and you're having an odd number at the end.
No,
so we got
grains of rice.
Yes. No, I don't know. I don't know. We're going to have to. Well, we'll see whether any of this matters anymore.
Assuming
it matters, back of putting ourselves in Chazal's mindset where Zugos matters, so is it by the grain or by the serving?
Yeah, well,
okay.
It can't be the grain.
The Gemara says in Amud Beis that anything that's Gomrasu Bidei Adam that a person completes. And is not made by God is not zugo. So like a donut's a bad example because people make a donut, but like two apples maybe, or two grains of rice maybe, or however you, what?
If it's cooked, it's a bad meat.
I don't think so.
If it's brought out in a pair also, wouldn't that be a problem? Like you said, even though he had one cup already, it's still brought out in a pair.
Why is it only about the drinking? It's hard to answer questions about zugos.
No, I'm just saying.
Yeah, I don't know.
It seems like it would be a problem also if it's also in pairs.
Yeah.
Just, if you have a cake, it's all. A cake is theoretically all made by Shemaim. You can have everything that's made by
No,
Shemaim.
But Gamro Bidei Adam. It has to be that. Yeah, Gamro Bidei Adam. Then the Gemara quotes a lot of different shitos about how many cups of. Are there even numbers of cups of wine that you could have where you won't be susceptible to zugos? So the Gemara says, Ula holds 10 cups of wine, you're not susceptible to Zugos. Rav Chisra, Rabbi Rav Huna holds 8 cups, you're not susceptible. Rabbi and Rav Yosef holds 6 cups, you're not susceptible. And Rav and Abaye hold that 4 cups is not a problem of Zugos. But then the Gemara says that all even numbers are dangerous in places where there are, where the Machshefos are around, where sorceresses are around. So bottom line is, the Gemara tells Yosef Shida about this demon Yosef who advised different Amorayim about different things and about about Zugos. He was the demon that was in charge of Zugos, and he said he said that he wouldn't do so much anymore. The king of demons, who's in charge of Zugos, was not going to cause any injury anymore. Or another version is, no, he's going to cause a lot of harm, so you need to be very careful. Okay, so some Amoraim at the end of the Gemara comes to the conclusion on Kuf Yod Amud Beis, very famous line. Klal Adimil, so the rule is as follows: Kol de Kapid Kapti Bahadei, Udelo Kapid Lo Kapti Bahadei. Lashon is, whoever's careful about these things, whoever cares about these things, so you got to be careful. If you don't care about these things, so you don't have to be careful. Umihu lemechash mibayi, but you should still be choshish a little bit. So that itself is a very difficult line. Because what does it mean? Don't be machmir. If you're not machmir, forget about it. But don't forget about it. What does that mean? So what are you worried about then? If you don't have to be worried about it. Everyone always quotes the first half of the line, but not the lemechash. That's how Rabbi Balzman pointed out to me this morning. That's how the Aruch HaShulchan writes about the Tzavas Rabbi Da Chassid. That, yeah, if you want to be machmir, not to marry a girl who has the same name as your mother. You want to be machmir, whatever, all the different things. The Tzavas Rabbi Da Chassid. So you can be makbid about Tzavas Rabbi Da Chassid. But if you don't want to be makbid, okay, so don't be makbid about Tzavas Rabbi Da Chassid. Yeah.
What's the source for two in general? Two being a problem.
We'll get to that in a moment. Yeah.
The same thing applies to an Ein Hara, the concept of Ein Hara. If you're not makbid about it, don't worry.
Did we say that about Ein Hara?
No.
I don't think so. I think Ein Hara is a real thing. In the sense that don't draw attention to yourself. Meaning it relates to the Busha discussion from before. The Gemara tells different statements about which items are susceptible to Zugos. Rav Dimi thought only eggs, walnuts, cucumbers, and one other type of food are susceptible to Zugos. But he never identified what that other type of food was, so we're choshish for everything, because it could be anything. Rabbi Avira taught that kol shegamru b'dei adam ein ben mishum zugos. I mentioned before, anything completed by human hands, cooked dishes, loaves of bread, according to our girsa in the Gemara, not subject to zugos. Rabbi Nachmanal's girsa does not have loaves of bread as something that's not subject to zugos.
Eggs are,
the Gemara says. Rabbi Yosef says, two cups of wine with one cup of beer do not combine to make three. But two cups of beer do combine with one cup of wine to make three and take care of the problem. All these different rules, these arcane, difficult to understand rules. So a couple of things I want to get into over here. Not much, but a couple of things. First of all, what's the idea? Is there some sort of take-home message we could take from any of this? Second of all, is does it relate to anything else that we've had around? Is it just the Arba Kosos and why is that Zuga and that's it? Or is there something else that relates to our Perek? Third, is it Nogei Bizmanazet at all? And fourth, are there other examples where we find that Chazal maybe were misaking things and ignored the issue of Zugos? The Gemara challenges by Dalet Kosos and had to come up with Terutzim. But there are other places where Chazal were misaking to do things in twos or fours, and the Gemara didn't challenge. So why didn't it challenge in those other places? So first, in terms of the explanation, they quote from Rabbeinu Bachya, or Rabbeinu Bachai, however you like to pronounce it, in Bereishis Perek Aleph, Pasuk Dalet. And he says this: what this all boils down to, what the whole concept of Zugos boils down to, is the sense of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, that people, in specifically in the ancient world, in their modes of worship, they always believed that there was a koach of evil and a koach of good, and they worshipped both, because you had to satisfy both. So they had these two competing forces that they were worshipping, and you had to satisfy both. So the concept of Zugos relates to the kolchos atuma that come from this duality. So that's why we avoid two. That's essentially what Rabbeinu Bachai says. That Shabbriyas Olam Hayom Hasheniya Yitzchilas Kala Machlokas Vesibasa. Day two of creation, that was the beginning of things splitting and breaking. And that's why it doesn't say Kitov, because that causes Pirud in the world. So that's the concept of Zugos, that somehow we have this profound sense of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, that it's all one unit, that the world is one organic place. Whereas Zugos tells us about a split in Koach. So I don't know what that means exactly, obviously, but on that level, it brings about a certain level of Tumah. Now, there is a fascinating comment that I saw quoted over here from the Bach. The Ran raises the question that the Gemara said before, Hakol Chayavin Barba Kos Salalu Echra Nashim Echra Nashim Echra Tinokos. Who's Chayavin Dal Kosos? Men, women, and children. Omer Rabbi Yehuda V'chimat V'alasiyesh L'tinokos B'yayin. Why are you giving kids wine? What's a kid going to do with wine? Rabbi Yehuda asks. Ela Mechalkel L'chayesh V'gos M'er Pesach K'desh L'yishnu V'yishalu. So give them candies instead, and that way they won't fall asleep in the last questions. Frecht the Ran on Rabbi Yehuda's question. Matoel Yesh Tinokos B'yayin. Matoel? I'll ask you another question. Matoel Yesh Tinokos B'matza, B'davening, B'anything. What do you mean Matoel? It's Chinuch. That's the Toel. We have a mitzvah of Chinuch. What kind of question? Matoel asks the Ran. Matoel Yesh Tinokos B'dalad Minim. Of course it's Toel. It's chinuch. No? You hear the kasha? So the Bach is quoted over here as saying that what Rabbi Yehuda means to say is that the Gemara raises the question how the Chum could have been Masakin Dalet Kosos and not be Choshish for Zugos. And Rava answered that the Koshal Bracha is not Mitztarif L'Ra'a. L'Chora, the Koshal Bracha is only not Mitztarif L'Ra'a if you are Chayiv in Birch Samazim in Atara. The Koshal Birch Samazim is not Mitztarif L'Ra'a if one is chayiv in Birch Samazim. But Ketanim are apart from Birch Samazim, it's not shaykh to say Koshal Bracha is not Mitzrayv L'Ra'ah. Because there's no mile of the Koshal Birch Samazim for them. They're not chayiv in Birch Samazim in the first place. So then the shayla should come back. How come the Chacham weren't Koshish for Zugos? That was Rabbi Yehuda's kasha. Matawelas Yesh L'Tinokos. How is the wine going to be good for the kids? Where they're not going to have to be Koshish for Zugos. They're going to have that problem of Zugos. You hear how the Bach reads it? Not Stam, that wine is not appropriate for kids. You'll get arrested for feeding kids wine. No, that's not what he's saying. What's the value of drinking wine in the sense that spiritually it has negative value? And Rabbi Yehuda answers that in our sugya it says that Sakonas Zugos is when you drink Pesach HaBayis only if you're about to go out on the road, you're Holech L'Derech. Says the Gemara Pesach and Kuf Yud. What does it mean, Holech L'Derech? It could mean you're going on a journey, or Holech Lishon. You're going to sleep. That counts as a Holech L'Derech. So when is Zugos dangerous? If you're going to go to sleep, Zugos is going to be dangerous. If you're not going to go to sleep, Zugos is not going to be a problem. You're not going to go to sleep, you're not going to travel, Zugos is not going to be a problem. So says Rabbi Yehuda, Matos Yeshu Tinokos B'yayin, Ella, so what should you do? Mechalkin Kleyos Ve'gozim Kadesh Lo Yishon V'yishalu. Make sure they don't go to sleep right away. Make sure you keep them awake and they're asking questions. And then the Dalet Kosos makes sense. What a reading of that Machlokas. It turns out that Rabbi Yehuda holds, you also should have to give the children Dalet Kosos. He's not disagreeing. He thinks, yeah, give the kids Dalet Kosos. The Gemara, when we read that Gemara was so troubling to begin with. Because what do we say? Give the kids Dalet Kosos, according to Tanna Kamma. Says Rabbi Yehuda, no, give them candy on Erev Pesach. Yeah, okay, give them candy on Erev Pesach. That's a nice idea, that's great. What does that have to do with Dalet Kosos? Meaning, that if you hold that you should give them Dalet Kosos, you should probably also give them candy on Erev Pesach. How's a candy on Erev Pesach going to replace Dalet Kosos? It has nothing to do with Dalet Kosos. But according to the Bach's reading, it's got everything to do with it. Of course you can give them Dalet Kosos. That's chinuch. You've got to give them Dalet Kosos. What about Zugos? Well, make sure they don't go to sleep, and then you don't have to worry about Zugos. How do you make sure they don't go to sleep? Mechalkan them Kleis Vagozim. Gevaldik Achav. I got such an awe from that. And I thought it was very, very innovative reading of that Gemara. Okay. Bizman HaZed, do we have to worry about Zugos? So Tosfos in a couple of places in Shas says, absolutely not. Nothing to worry about Bizman HaZed. Tosfos in Yuma Davayin Zayin, Chulun Dav Kuf Zayin, says, you know, we're not worried about Ruach Ra in certain instances, just like we're not worried, just like it's obvious that we're not worried about Gilui, and that we're not worried about Zugos. What's Gilui? Familiar with Gilui? Have you heard of it? You're a dayan. Shulchan Aruch. Gilo is leaving foods uncovered overnight. You know, like leaving an onion uncovered, that kind of thing. There's a whole section. Oops. There's a whole section in Shulchan Aruch. Simen Kufta Zayim. Dvarim ha'asurim mishum giloi. Things that are asur because they've been exposed. Mashkim shenes galu asum chacham d'cheshin neshama shasa nachash mehem. A liquid that was left exposed, uncovered, we're afraid a snake put some venom in it. V'achshav shein nechashim mitzuyim b'neinu mutter. If you live in a place where there aren't so many snakes, so then you don't have to worry about that. And it goes on, this is where it tells us, Kufta Zayin is all the things that are asur mishum sakana. It's a long Piskei Tshuva over here. It talks about all the things we're not allowed to do because they're dangerous. So if you would find zugos in Shulchan Aruch, your day of Kufta Zayin is where you would find it. You won't find it though. But this is where you would find it. So Tosus, Balei Tosus say, just like we're not worried about Giloy, and that's what the day is called in Shulchan Aruch, we're not worried about Giloy because we don't have snakes around. So too, we're not worried about zugos. Zugos aren't an issue anymore. Great, okay, that's easy enough. Comes along the tour in Or Chaim Sim Kuf Ayin. Says the tour, you should know. Garsin and Perik Arve Psachim Lo Yochel Adam Trin Vleish to Trin Pirush Lo Yochel Vleish to Zugos Mishum Sakana. Don't eat twos of anything because of Sakana. Good? That's what the tour says. So the tour, obviously, you would say, no problem. Tour is allowed to disagree with Tosos. He disagrees with Tosos. Tosos says you don't have to worry about Zugos anymore. And the tour obviously thinks you do have to worry about Zugos. Says the Beis Yosef, not so posh. If you're writing a halacha book and you hold that Zugos is a halacha, you're going to need a little more detail than just don't do it. Why do you need more detail than just don't do it? Because we have a whole daf over here that we had trouble getting through. But a whole daf over here all about Zugos and the details. It's only a problem if you're going out on the road. Going to the bathroom or going to sleep is the same as going on the road. You know, if you go out to the shuk in between one and the other, that's not a problem with Zugos. Which foods are included in Zugos, which foods are not? We have all of these issues. And the Torah is just going to say, Zugos, just throw it out there for us without giving any details. So Beis Yosef says, man of shuk. If you hold like Tosos, that it's not nogeh at all, b'zman hazeh. Good, so don't mention it. And if you don't hold like Tosos, it is nogeh, so why are you mentioning it? Why do you only mention one thing and then none of the details? You got to give all the details. It's Beis Yosef's kasha. Says the Bach, of course the Torah holds like Tosos. No one holds a Zugos. No one's worried about Zugos anymore. If I'd have Zugos of anything, it's fine. Why does he mention this Gemara? So he says, "Kachi anuskel mitzvah sifra beinu v'alfa gavda tos kosu din lo kaptin b'achi umavim beis yosef nira de lahachi kosu rabenu kan de bahach memer yadin on the frushay had the kosu b'samach v'liyavi shnei kosos." Says the reason the Torah quotes it is because it helps us understand the next little piece that the Torah goes on to say. I put in the Torah over here, not just that one line. The Torah goes on to say, "Garsinu m'sechus derech eretz, ha'nichnas l'bayis kol mashiyom lo, balabayis ya'ase." It's not be'ezra Hashem. It's balabayis. Any person goes into a house, anything the balabayis tells you, you should do. Ma'aser Rabbi Shimon ben Antafra she'nichnasu arachem etzlo v'gazar alein she'yochel v'yishtu v'yinodrim v'mavadin v'ilkosam. He told them to do something, they didn't listen, he got upset, okay. Lo yeyadam kapton bisu udaso. Lo yochle, a person shouldn't be very exacting in his meal, very picky. Lo yochle adam prusaka beitzavim achala reza ra'avton. Don't eat a single piece of challah that's the size of a kebetza, because you look like a glutton. Lo yishta koso bebasachas. Don't guzzle your whole kos at once. Vim shasa reza gargaron. If you do, it looks like you're a gargaron, you're a slosh. I don't know what the word is. Beis, if you drink your cup of wine in two sips, derech eretz, that's nice. Gimel, hareza migase aruach. There's still no gay. To cradle a cup of wine, cradle the glass. People walk around, cradling glass, having a little sip, and then a little more. It's derech gaiva. It's migase aruach. It's understood to be miderech gaiva. That's the way a person acts in a very dignified or stilted way. Migase aruach. Eat from the leaves, not from the head of the onion, etc. Vim achal areza raftan. Leyavi beis kosos besudaso v'yevarich birch samazon. Vimnei shenir ke gargaran. Don't bring two kosos for birch samazon because you look like a gargaran. So what's that about? So says the Bach, the only way to understand that is if we first mention the idea of zugos. And it's only against the backdrop of zugos that we understand why beis kosos is a problem. Why? What does that mean? Now that I know about zugos, why, meaning he's saying we're not worried about zugos, but we're not going to understand when we quote this whole line of Maseches Derech Eretz, this whole chapter of Maseches Derech Eretz, why it mentions beis kosos, if not for the fact that we have a little bit of background, then we know that there's such a concept called zugos. But ein achinami, even the Torah agrees that we don't have to worry about it anymore, and that's why the Torah doesn't give us any details about it. It's just that he's quoting the whole chapter of Maseches Derech Eretz, and that's why he tells us these things. Okay. So lemaisa, is anyone worried about these things anymore? So it seems that it didn't make it into the page of Shulchan Aruch. Yeah. Why not? So what was the reason for zugos? Two possibilities. One is, there may be more, but two that come to mind. One is that if the fear of zugos is mazikin and shadim and all these sorts of things, so it could be we're just not always worried about those things anymore. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, the Zemes Yaakov, has the very critical idea that there's a balance in the world between koch satuma and koch sakadusha, and that when there used to be koch sakadusha of nevua, ruach hakodesh, v'chule, so then there was Shadim and Mazikin and all sorts of horrible Kochos HaTumah, Kishuv, all these things. But as Nevuah went away, so we lost some of the Kochos HaTumah. As Ruach Kodesh went away also. So it all balances out. That's how Rabbi Yaakov explains when the Rambam says there's no such thing as Shadim. So how can the Rambam say there's no such thing as Shadim? There are Gemaras all over Shas. There are Dapim, full Dapim of Gemara. Discuss Shadim. Kufir Aleph and Pesachim, Shadim, the whole thing. So how can you say there's no such thing as Shadim? So it says Rabbi Yaakov, maybe that's the word. Not that there's never was such a thing as Shadim. There's no longer such a thing as Shadim. If you read the Rambam, it's not so convincing that's what the Rambam meant. More partial reading of the Rambam is the Rambam was a rationalist and he didn't believe in Shadim. But it's difficult to say that because how could he go against the Gemara? So we got to figure that out. Ron Soloveitchik has this word that Shadim are bacteria. They used to just call them Shadim because it was something that was not visible that caused all sorts of damage and disease and whatever. It fits some Gemaras, doesn't fit most. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik.
It's not a good bacteria.
What?
It's not a good bacteria.
Okay, the bad ones, I guess. The bad ones, I guess. So that's one possibility. That it's not that we're not worried, it's not that zugos don't have kochos, they do have kochos, but only in a world where there's more kedusha. The other possibility is that if you understand like Rabbeinu Bechai, that it relates to this multiplicity and that this dual modes of avoda, well, in a world where that mode of avoda is not so popular, maybe there's less to worry about when we do zugos. Yeah.
What if one's not with that?
Is it Asr B'Matvin? You are Rav, maybe?
No, is there any
Maila
at all? Because it sounds like you always include
Matvin,
but no one really cares.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a Maila to be Matvin. It may not be you are, I'm not sure. Maybe you are.
Yeah, like an anthropomorphic make it seem like if you're Matvin, it's an intrinsic calling that like, you're like meant to be Matvin.
Right. It's like you're. So that if a person is Matvin, then he's inviting the problems, yeah.
I'm saying, is it like, should a person like dismiss those calls of Shadim, or nowadays, if a person's inclined towards Shadim, should they drop it, or is it
yeah. Like, Pasha says they should drop it, yeah.
I once speak to a rabbi who was see whether or not I can say his name after. I'm just going to do the story and see. Then you can say it's fine. He was using what you think, crutches, right? And then one of the company was like, Einar, right? He's like, Einar, don't bother me. I don't bother Einar, you know? That's what he said.
Someone told me, Rabbi Rice just told me, I think, that he asked Rav Schechter about people using crutches. The Gemara says that a healthy person shouldn't use crutches to be able to collect tzedakah, you know, to pretend that he's missing a leg or something, to be able to collect money. And if you do, then ultimately you're going to need to collect money because you're going to be crippled. So what we're always told when we're young is don't use crutches if you're healthy, that it's an iron heart or whatever, right? Rav Schechter didn't think so. He thought that the issue is to use it to your advantage to try to get something out of it. But stam, just to mess around, to play around. He didn't see it as such a bad thing. I don't know. We try not to do it. I don't know. Maybe that's what he meant. I ain't her. Don't bother me. I don't bother me. I don't know.
Like, say you have an apple. Not that he eats apples, but. Like, you're thinking, maybe I want another apple, maybe I don't. Could you be like, I mean, two apples might be bad, so like, I just have one apple. I'm saying, are you allowed to factor it in? Just like, whatever, I just want to. Like,
I think we don't factor it in at all. I think we don't factor it in at all.
Like, it's not better or something.
Now, Chazal clearly were not allowed to be misaking things of Zugos. Right, because the Gemara asked, Dalad Kosos, it's a Zugos problem, and we needed answers. We had to have three answers. So one fascinating topic that I saw. What about Neros Shabbos? How many Shabbos candles do you light? So typically speaking, a lot of women light more nowadays, but the minhag was two: one keneged shamar, one keneged zachar. So where does it come? Light two candles? It's Zugos. Isn't that a problem of Zugos to light two? On what?
Lighting candles.
On lighting candles connected the number of people?
Yeah.
I might have. I don't know. It's possible. They say, I forgot where I saw it. I have a sefer at home all about Shabbos candles. I think he quotes some sources that suggest that those who have the minhag to light the number of candles corresponding to the number of people in the house is that they start with two because one connected Shomer, one connected Zachar. It's not one connected Mommy, one connected Daddy. It's Shomer and Zachar. And then when they have a child, they light another one, because it used to be that when a woman would have a child, she'd always miss lighting candles at Shabbos. And the minhag is that when a woman misses candle lighting one Shabbos, she's supposed to light an extra candle every Shabbos for the rest of her life. So with each kid, she'd miss candle lighting. So she would add in an extra candle for the rest of her life. I don't know if that's really true, that's where it comes from, but... But be that as it may, I saw this discussion in the back of the Masifta by Hadlaka Shnei Neros Shabbos, where he says as follows. Hamukubalim danu im yesh chashash zugos b'neros Shabbos, shnei b'kol bo kasof shematza b'tanchuma, kol devrei Shabbos kfulim. The Kabbal says in the Tanchuma, it says, everything in Shabbos is in twos. Shabbos is all about doubles. Shnei kvasim, mizmor shel yom haShabbos, lecha mishnah, zachar v'shamar. I don't know why mizmor shel yom haShabbos. Why is that kafel? That we say it twice?
Say it 3 times.
Yes, I don't know what that's about. V'nira shalchei nagu la'adlik shnei neros. Okay. V'al pi dvarav kasa b'shulchan aruch, sheyesh mechavim lasas beis psilos, echad keneged zachar v'echad keneged shamar. So he quotes from the Sefer Shushan Sodos. Well, by the way, why would Shabbos dafka be in doubles? What's the doubles element of Shabbos? So Shomer v'Zachar, clearly, but the Tanchum is saying that we find everything about Shabbos doubles. What is it about the fundamental character of Shabbos? So the Gemara says that for every single, Rav Shur mentioned this, that for every single day we find a ben zug. Sunday as Monday, Tuesday as Wednesday, Thursday as Friday. Shabbos nebuch is single, doesn't have a ben zug. So who's the ben zug of Shabbos? Klal Yisrael. So we want to celebrate that we are the ben zug of Shabbos. But he quotes, "B'shushan sodos shechayv ladik beiz neiros echad keneged zachar v'echad keneged shamar av meishan nir romiz l'shnios l'chein liadlik gimel neiros yasmi de'ashnios." So some people are knowing dafka to light an extra candle because of that. to avoid the problem of zugos. Otherwise, do we have an explanation? Meaning, okay, what about people who light two? It's not lel shimurim on Shabbos. It's not two separate mitzvos, like you could say by dalet kosos, and there's no koshel bracha of brachas mazon. It's not a lumen minyan. So what is it? Why is it that it would be okay? Okay, when you light two candles, it's light combined. You're not eating it, also. Meaning, not everything about zugos is eating, but lo yaseh tzrach of trei is not eating, but still.
Maybe we are shomer from it because we have
neshama
yisera that helps us be shomer.
Neshama yisera maybe helps us in some way. Extra koch hakadusha that could ward off the mazikin. They also raised the question about lecha mishnah. Right, is lecha mishnah a problem with zugos? So what? That's why we cover it? We know why we cover it. So the truth is, lecha mishnah, it's machlokas whether you're supposed to eat from both, whether you have to dafka eat from both. Lecha mishnah, maybe just you make hamotzi in both, but you only eat from one. The problem is being ochel zugos, not having two loaves of bread. Plus, according to our girsa, kikaros are not subject to zugos because it's gomer b'de'adah. According to the Gersh Rabbeinu Chananel, you'd have that problem with Lecha Mishnah. But wait, you might have to cut both Lecha Mishnah. The Gra quotes from the Zohar. You're supposed to have Yud Beis Chalos on Shabbos. You're supposed to have 12 Chalos on Shabbos. So the Rebbes do that by each of their meals. They have 12 Chalos at each Shabbos meal. But the Gra says from they take one big one and they surround it with 11 little... So the Gra says from the Zohar, though, that no, it doesn't mean Yud Beis Chalos. The Gra to Yisod. The Zohar was never against the Gemara. That it's not Yud Beis Chalos. What it means is that every meal, three meals of Shabbos, you're supposed to have Lecha Mishnah, and each of the three meals of Shabbos, you're both say, al shtei kikaros. You cut both loaves. So you have six loaves that are each split in half, and that's Yud Beis Kikaros. That's what it means, 12 kikaros, but it's not actually 12 kikaros. Okay, so on that level, Lecha Mishnah is not it. I also saw a discussion over here about making an Eruv Dafka with two baits and with two eggs. Kiddush and Birchas HaMazon, whether that's a problem of Zugos. Kiddush and Birchas HaMazon is not really such a kasha to begin with, because the Gemara already said Koshel Bracha and Birchas HaMazon. Plus, that's clearly two separate mitzvahs that have nothing to do with each other. Okay, labor the topic. Next time we'll move on to something else. That's probably why you have three